Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Miss Sandy.
Good morning.
Why don't you take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. We're going to look at the importance of God's Word this morning, but specifically, we're going to look a little bit at visions and revelation. In Genesis chapter 14, there's a record where Abram's nephew got himself in trouble, and there were a bunch of kings fighting against some other kings. And they got a hold of Lot, and among other things. And what happened was Abram took up arms. He got 300 or so of his trained men, which is interesting that he had an army. He's thought enough to have men that would know how to battle if need be. And he went after them, and he recovered them. And then one of the kings, particularly the king of Salem, whose name was Melchizedek, came to meet Abraham, or Abram. Later on, God changed his name to Abraham. But at this point, he's called Abram. One of the kings came to meet him, and he blessed him. He blessed Abram. And then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth. He tithed to him. And then you get to chapter 15, and verse 1. And chapter 15 says, after these things. And the reason why I told you a little bit about chapter 14 is so you can understand where we're coming from. We're coming after these things, after the fight, after Abram got involved. He went and got the kid back. Melchizedek came out, gave him tithe. After all that, it says in chapter 15, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a what?
Vision.
In a vision. And the revelation was, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Thy exceeding great reward. So we see that God's word came to Abram in a vision. A vision is revelation. It's revelation. It's God revealing himself to you. It's a revelation that comes by seeing, either with your physical eyes or your spiritual eyes. And at times, it can be a picture or a video that the Lord will show you in your mind. That's what a vision is. But when this word is used throughout the Bible, it's used concerning people that are in service and seeking to do the will of God. It's not used of people that are, this particular word, it's not used of people that are lazy, that are not interested in God. It's something that is given to people who are interested in God and are in service to God, and they're seeking to do God's will. The word vision here, and throughout this teaching, the particular word family that I'm dealing with this morning, okay, comes from the root Greek word hurama. That's how I'm saying it. That's how it's getting pronounced. Okay. Now, I'm going to put it up here on the board so you can see it. This is the Greek word, if you were to look it up, the root, okay? Now, O-R-A-M-A, okay, that's the Greek letters, O-R-A-M-A. Now, in Greek, there is no letter for H, okay? So it doesn't exist. So what the Greeks do, if they want to make an H, all right, they'll put something like this down. Now, it looks like a 6, but it's not a 6. It's like an upside-down comma, a backwards comma. When you see this in front of an O, okay, you have to supply the letter H in English to write it out. So it's H-O-R-A-M-A. Horama. Okay? That's how it works. And these breath marks, is what they're called, are so small that unless you start to train yourself to look before certain words, you'll zip right over them. All right? Now, this word, according to Strong's, horama, that's a Greek word, okay, means that which is seen, spectacle. It's a sight divinely granted in an ecstasy or in a sleep, a vision. Theirs, exact same definition. I think the one copied from the other. Another lexicon renders it as literally what is seen, appearance, spectacle. In the New Testament, a supernatural vision given as a means of divine communication to be distinguished from a dream. Now, the Old Testament that we're dealing with now is, this particular verse, is in Hebrew. There is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's called the Septuagint. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a horama. The Greek word horama is used where it has the word vision, okay, in the Septuagint. So this Hebrew word in Genesis 15:1 that's translated vision is the Greek word in the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament translation done in Greek instead of Hebrew or Aramaic, okay? And this is the word that we are now going to look at. This is the root word. They are declined differently. They are rendered differently in different forms. But the root is where I'm taking you to, okay? That's what I'm giving you. And then from there, you have different forms of this word. So we see that God's word came to Abram in a vision. A vision is revelation. A vision that comes by seeing either with the physical eye, the spiritual eye, or it can be a picture that you can see in your mind. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There was no open horama. Verse 15. 1 Samuel 3:15. And Samuel lay unto the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision, the horama. And Eli said to Samuel, come tell me, here I am, and what did the Lord show you? Don't hide anything from him. And he let him go, and he said so forth and so on. He told him about the vision, the horama. Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel are among others that are recorded in God's word as seeing visions, as seeing horama. All right, now let's go to Matthew chapter 17. So a vision is one way that God may choose to give an individual revelation, to show him something, okay? To reveal something to him. That's why I say revelation. Matthew 17, verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision, tell the horma to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Interesting record in that just because you may have a vision doesn't necessarily mean you need to blab the vision. This particular record, Jesus said, tell no man of this horum, of this vision, until, which shows at a point in the future, there may be a time where you're able to share the vision. Okay? So, one time I was sitting on a sofa, and I was amongst a bunch of elders, and the vision that God showed me was a blind man. And then he blinded me, and I could see nothing. I could hear the teaching. I could hear what was going on. I was completely coherent of where I was and what I was doing, but I had no sight. This was the vision. And then God showed me in the vision, this is what he said. If you stay here, you will become as blind as these people. And then I regained back my sight. Then he told me, don't share that with anybody. And for years, I never told anybody that story. And then one day he said, it's okay to share that now. See? This is this record here. Jesus said, don't share the vision with anybody until such and such. And if you're going to get something like that, you better make sure you listen, because it's going to be a real long time before you get something else from the Father. Because he might just say, go back and do what I told you to do the first time. Peter, James, and John were all in this with Jesus Christ. They were the ones that saw this vision. They didn't speak. Now, it's another great record of the principle of knowing something but keeping your mouth shut. Esther. How many feasts did she have? Right? Before she was able to go on and say what was going on. I personally think it was cheeseburgers that were served. Cannot prove that from the Hebrew. But, you know, come back. And then when the time was right, bam. And then you see how things just fit in. And when the time was right, he was laying on the bed pleading for his life, and who comes in? And the king says, you going to hang out with my wife now? So it had to be when the time was right, but she kept her mouth shut. You know, she didn't let anybody know who her people was as of yet, right? That's walking on the word. So God's word came to people in the Old Testament. Now you can look this up for yourself. We only took a random sampling, but... And one of the ways God's word came to people was through a vision. God's word came through a vision in the Gospels. We just saw it with Jesus Christ and three of his apostles, right? It's not the normal way, but it is available. I want to say that it's not commonplace, but it is available. Now let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 9. In Acts, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a what? In a horma, a vision. Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Who else said that? Sammy. Right? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he, and hath seen in a vision, Saul, hath seen in a vision, a horema, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his what?
Sight.
There you go. So up until this point, the records that we referenced were that of the prophets and the apostles, great men like Jesus and Abraham. But here, we see that it was just a certain disciple, that received the vision, the horema. You understand? Just a regular old disciple. Now we're in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is after the day of Pentecost at this particular chapter, right? So we see that God is still giving his word in a vision to a certain disciple, to just a born-again believer. And the word disciple means a learned one. And it doesn't mean a learned one like a scholarly learned one. It just means a student, a pupil. That's all. Just somebody who loves the word and wants to put their mind to do it. Look at Acts chapter 10. One of my personal favorite verses. Not to say that the man was Italian has anything to do with it. Acts 10 verse 1. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was in your band. Played the drums. Not that kind of band. This was a fighting band. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He was a devout man. He feared God and he gave and he prayed. And he saw in a what? A vision, a horema. Evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. Now we have a record of a Gentile, one who's not born again, receiving a vision from God. See? So we got prophets, we got apostles, we got Jesus, we got believers, we got certain disciples, and we got people that aren't even in the fold, just regular old people. And the booty was Italian, so that tells you how bad he was. God will even talk to the Italians. Well, Acts 10 verse 9, And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city, and Peter went upon the housetop to pray at about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, but it wasn't a trance, because in verse 17, it says, Now while Peter doubted or thought about or considered in himself, what this vision, it was a vision that God showed him, this horema, which he had seen should mean. Behold, men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood at the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, on the horema, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee, so on and so forth. So once again, we have, according to the word, Peter receiving a vision. Again, he was with Jesus when he saw a vision. Now again, the word says Peter sees another vision. Acts 16. And the vision was revelation. You understand? God was showing him, teaching him. Because Peter was in the service of God, looking to do God's will. And I want to tell you another thing. It's going to blow your mind. Cornelius was in the service of God, looking to do God's will, even though he wasn't born again. Why? Because he was praying, he was giving alms, he was doing good, right? He was doing the best he could, serving the Lord. How do you like that? Acts 16, verse 9, talking about Paul. And a vision, a horema, appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia praying to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and what? Help him. Help us. Come help us. Verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, the horema, immediately we endeavored to go. See, he acted on the revelation. Paul did. Acts 18. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a what? A vision, a horema. See? Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Acts chapter 2. Verse 17. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see what? Vision, shall see horema. And your old men shall dream dreams. See it? So God is giving his word. One of the ways God gives his word is through a vision. The Old Testament, in the Gospels, in the New Testament, New Covenant, and in the future. John, or Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou what? Seest, write in a book. See, John was given a vision of what's going to happen in the future when the Bible calls it by the Lord's Day. I've taught what the Lord's Day is. You can get that CD and look it up. So you see, God's Word plainly teaches that God may give revelation by a vision. A person may see it in their mind or with their eyes, this revelation. Many times the prophets of old were referred to as seers because they saw the revelation. The wonderful record in 2 Kings you're all familiar with, chapter 6. And this record is about Elisha and his servant that he took along with him to teach how to be a minister. And his servant got up early one morning to go to the bathroom. And in verse 15 it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, that's what that means, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Different translation is, our goose is cooked. And he answered, Elisha said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may what?
See.
You want to make a song out of that? Oh, they did. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he what? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He saw the vision. He saw with his eyes or spiritually or in his mind, however God decided to show him the revelation, that, look, I'm backing up my man. That's what he said. So can God still give revelation to someone by way of a vision today?
Yes.
He can. Look at Exodus 3. You might find this interesting. This is the calling of Moses. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of the fire, a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, and the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. You know, it's kind of like my gas logs in my fireplace. They burn with fire, but they're not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. I will now turn aside and see this great Orima. That's the Septuagint. Why the bush is not burned. Same word used for vision. Look at Acts chapter 7. Acts 7, verse 31. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. He wondered at the Horema, the vision. As he drew near, behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him to say. See? God gives his word by a vision. You figure the rest out yourself, but I'm telling you what the words are used. Now, can God give revelation by way of a dream to someone today?
Yes.
Yeah. He can. Genesis 20, verse 3. You can just listen. We're going to move through them quickly. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, and by the way, these are different words. Okay? Genesis 31, 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. He said, here I am. Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, talking about Joseph, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, different Greek word, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, so forth and so on. In a dream, in a onar, O-N-A-R is the Greek word. Not horema. In an onar. Matthew 2, verse 12, speaking of the Magi, and being warned of God in an onar, in a dream, that they should not return unto Herod, they departed into their own country another way. See it? And you can work it through the word. So there is truth that God can speak to people and give revelation to people by visions. And by dreams, if he chooses. If he chooses. Now, having taught you this, let me warn you about the massive abuse and misunderstanding that's going on today about visions and dreams in Christianity. God still talks to his children by visions and dreams at times. However, God has given us revelation that pertains to life and godliness from A to Z already in his word. Visions and dreams are not guaranteed to you. Okay. One time I was playing around with a heater and I had my hand in the heater and God showed me a vision in my mind. And he showed me my hand all black and burnt and withered up. That's what he showed me. And it was that fast. And so I just sat there and thought on the vision. No, I did not. I pulled my hand out of the tunnel. It was an oil heater. And as I started to walk back to check the thermostat, the heater went on. See? Now, I may have had one or two other things in my life, visions like that, and that's 30X amount of years for whatever years I've been in the Word. Okay? It's not guaranteed. So if you don't get a vision or a dream, it's okay. You know what is guaranteed? His Word is guaranteed. He's magnified His Word above His name. You understand? What happens is people start looking for visions and start looking for dreams. And then they start to interpret their visions and interpret their dreams. Not one of these people or one of these records that you read about will you ever see they were looking for a dream or looking for a vision or looking to learn something from a dream or looking to learn something from a vision. Who instigated it? God did. You're right. It was God's choice. It was His prerogative. But you know what people in Christianity have done? They have taken in, they've written books on the subjects. They go, I'm going to go seek God's will. No. Because the devil will give you plenty of visions and he'll give you plenty of dreams. An undigested cheeseburger will give you plenty of dreams. Okay? So don't eat late. You may never receive a vision or a dream. Only some of the apostles are recorded in the Word as receiving visions. Not every one of them, just some of them. The Scripture says God magnified His Word above His name. He doesn't say He magnified visions and dreams above His name. The problem with dreams or so-called visions is that everybody dreams. Everybody in this room has had a dream, right? And then people take it upon themselves to interpret the dream as a spiritual matter. It may not be a spiritual matter. In order for a dream or a vision to be from the true God, it's got to come to pass or give godly direction and insight and have a prophet that will bring glory to the Father. And sometimes you get a vision and God just says, shut up, and then you just wait and see if it comes to pass. You act on it, and you're the only one that knows about it. And the fulfillment of it is a guarantee that it was of God. The Bible teaches us that there are false visions and false dreams. And this isn't a category that you want to fall into. Isaiah 28:7 says, but they have erred. And look how these particular group of priests and prophets have erred. They have erred through wine and strong drink and are out of the way. The priest and the prophet had erred. They made mistakes. They erred through strong drink. And they are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in visions and stumble in judgment. See? That's why you got to watch what and how much you drink. It's okay to have a beer. It's okay to have a glass of wine. But you know what? You have no idea when God's going to call you upon you to do something and you're three sheets to the wind. I was downstairs in my basement maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago, with the leader of the whole state of Pennsylvania. We had just got done doing a leaders meeting, and it was all over. And he said to me, do you have something to drink? Now, no one ever said that to me before. A leader. I'll give you a Coke. I figured, no, something stronger. Okay. So, normally I don't have, do we have liquor in this house? If we do, I don't know about it. Uh-oh. Kim. But I usually don't have whatever, but for some reason we had a thing and maybe somebody gave me a bottle or something, and I poured this guy and he took it and he poured it and the drink was about this big, and he's sitting down there sipping, and this guy's, you know, core trained big shot, you know, drinking, And he got about this far to the bottom of the glass, and doesn't this woman come downstairs? And she's hysterical, crying, upset, just like, you know how you ladies get when we do dumb things to you. And he's like, a deer in headlights. Didn't know what to do. You know why? Because he was three sheets buzzed already. But I was there, and I knew what to do. And then after he left, he was just, I never saw, you know, I thought men like that were supposed to be, he was just, that said a lot for his life and ministry that he doesn't have anymore. Has his life, but he walked away on his ministry, if he ever had one to start with. It's not funny, I'm serious. A lot of people get ordained that shouldn't be ordained. Or let me put it to you this way, a lot of people walk in a ministry, quote, that don't have ministries. Strong drink. Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I send them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesied unto them a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their hearts. See, it's a false vision. It's a false vision. And 23:32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams. Different word. False dreams, saith the Lord, and do not tell them, because they cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So false visions, false lies, or false dreams. Okay? You get into the neighborhood of hanging on to your visions and hanging on to your dreams, okay? And you think that God's talking to you by this way of method all the time, you're going to get yourself into trouble. Because if you work the Word of God, and if you were to put a percentage on how this comes in the New Testament, after the Spirit of God has been given, I would put it somewhere around 3%. That doesn't mean you can't have a vision or a dream. Okay? Because both of the things I told you came to pass. There was another one now that I'm thinking, but I won't share it with you. But you can. But the majority of a Christian's walk today is by the Word of God and by revelation, by walking in the Spirit. He'll tell you, he'll talk to you, he'll show you, he'll give you word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits. See, all these things, this whole package wasn't available before. I said the whole package. Okay, wasn't available before. Now the whole package is available. That doesn't mean that he threw it out, because the whole package was available when Ananias got the revelation to go talk to Paul, right? The whole package was available when Paul got the vision to Macedonia and calling, right? He was the one who taught us about the whole package for the most part. It was available. But for the most part, you can get way off in left field about this thing. About these kind of things. And the best thing to do is, if you get a vision or if you have a dream, the best thing to do to see if it's from God is to keep your mouth shut. Don't go share your vision and don't go share your dream, because you can't say in the Word, thus saith this. When your vision comes to pass, or your dream comes to pass, or you act upon it and there's a prophet, then you will begin to see. But if you start to look for another vision and another dream at the ignoring of God's Word, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And I'm not trying to discount it, but I don't want people to go out and leave here and say, oh, Nick taught about dreams and visions. And I've never heard a teaching about dreams and visions in my life, to be honest with you. Okay? But that doesn't mean that it's not available. You're supposed to be spiritually mature believers. So you should be able to handle the truths of God's Word without getting yourself in trouble with them, right? Most of the time when people say they're getting dreams and visions from God and they spend little time in service and seeking the Father and in His Word, their dreams and visions are coming from some other source. Your life will show if you're walking in this kind of revelation. You don't have to share it with anybody. And there are those that are in service to the Lord who walk at this level of believing and commitment that walk like this. But that's the exception. That's not what's commonplace. So don't misunderstand the teaching and use it to open up your mind to demons just because you're too lazy to study God's word for yourself. So you're just going to lay back and dream, saying that God's going to tell me. You know, it's, some people do that. Okay? God's going to give me direction. No. You study to show yourself approved. You work the word of God. You pray. You seek God. You fellowship. You do all these things. And then if you come along and God decides you need a little extra help and a little whatever, that's His prerogative to give you the vision. That's His prerogative to give you a dream or, you know, the writing on the wall. Right? It's in the Word. It's available. But don't be lazy with the Word. If you're lazy with the Word, that kind of stuff is going to happen to you. It's not going to be of God. We're to be spiritually mature. We're to be able to accept these truths as mature believers and not babes. So, God can talk to you by way of a vision. God can talk to you by way of a dream. There's truth in it. But God doesn't promise you dreams and He doesn't promise you visions. He does promise you that He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, which is recorded in what? So this, we got guarantees. You know, God doesn't promise that you're going to get revelation every day. But He gives it. He gives it. So let's stay rooted on the Word, stay mature in our believing, and stay grounded in what the Scriptures say and not what people say. There's whole churches that are built off of dreams and visions. Whole churches. And you know what? Whole churches should be built off of the Word of God that include dreams and visions. And even if they don't have dreams and visions, that doesn't make the Word of God any less authentic or any less able to produce in your lives, right? Okay, so we're going to bring Carmen up here with his kabong.
Can I share something about that?
Yeah, please.
Years ago, this was even way before I got into, the Word, before I even ever picked up a Bible, before I ever opened it up to learn anything of God's Word. It was back in 1974. I had a dream. And the dream was I was coming out of my church. I don't normally share, you know, dreams, but in light of this, it was in light of preparation. This dream was in light of preparation for me. I was coming out of my church, and I was outside of it, and there was, and it was on a corner, and there was standing on that corner what to me looked like a man dressed like Jesus, mm-hmm. Okay? And he didn't say a word to me. All he did was he handed me a Bible. That's all he did. Now, I took note that it was outside of the church, and he wasn't in the church. He was outside of the church, and I was already outside of the church.
Amen.
Coming out of it. Yeah. Out of it. He handed me the Bible. I didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. I took it, and I walked home. Days later, and I can't tell you how long, but there was a man named Russ Montleone that was sitting in his old, well, it wasn't old then, 63 Chevy Impala, on a corner at Barron's, and he shared God's word with me.
And that
from
great?
That point on,
yeah.
From that point on, I never, at least to my knowledge, yeah. Never walked away.
Amen.
From God's word.